Good morning again, church family. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter? 1 Peter. We're going to look in chapter 3. Now, if somebody asked you today and they said, "But how would you like a blessing?" Anybody old enough to remember the old Hawaiian Punch commercial? Anybody? How about a nice Hawaiian Punch? You remember? Would you rather have a blessing or a poke in the eye? That was my dad's favorite phrase. So you want to mow the yard or have a poke in the eye? Listen, you know, he was kidding. He was kidding. I have lost it already. We hadn't even started. Can I go back to what I said first? Everybody wants a blessing. Amen. But is it not true that not everybody wants to be one? We all look for those folks, and we all appreciate those people that are blessings in our life. But we also need to look to be the people that are a blessing. And Peter tells us that in order for us to receive a blessing, we need to be a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 8, he's closing out this little section, and he says, "Finally," you remember this from last week, we covered some of this, especially verse 8. "Finally, all of you," which includes who? Now, don't point at anybody else. Who's it supposed to include? Bring yourself into this. Who's it supposed to include? Me. "All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." You think there's a difference between allowing peace to come and pursuing it? Boy, a big difference. But what does it say here? Does it say allow peace, or what does it say? To pursue it. Folks, we are never told to just let it come. We are told to pursue peace. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." Thank you, Lord. "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Father, your word is very poignant. It is not confusing here. It's straightforward. Would you help us not only to be hearers, but doers of your word? We pray, Lord, that through the message today, that you would use this time to clarify and deepen your words in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Last week, we went through very quickly some of those things in verse 8, and he said that we're to live in harmony. So just very quickly, you may recall, we don't all have to think alike, but we need to have what? The very same focus, the same mind, and that is Jesus Christ. We're to be sympathetic to each other. Sympathy means what? Do you remember? Sympathy means that I make your hurt what? My hurt. The third thing is, we're to love each other as brothers. Listen, brothers can have fusses every now and then, but they always come back together. Brothers, blood is thicker than water. We've said that so many times, and you've heard that all your life. We're to show compassion toward those who have a need, not just those that we like, but anybody who has a need. We're to practice humility. And remember, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's what? Not thinking of yourself at all. In other words, putting others first and considering them as more important than ourselves. And now verse 9 gives us some very specific applications of the five commands that we just read in verse 8. And Peter applies them where we've been mistreated by other people. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, this is not a fun lesson. This is one of those difficult teachings of the Lord, and it's easy to say and hard to do. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Oh, so easy to memorize that scripture when we learn as children. But be kind, be tender-hearted, forgive, not so easy. So, we come down to this. Do you want to be blessed by God? Would you like to receive God's blessing? Then he says we need to practice these do's and don'ts. First of all, he said right there, he said, we do not retaliate when we're attacked. Now, he's not saying we don't protect ourselves if we're being beaten up or if we're at war or something. He's just saying, listen, when your enemy attacks you, attacks your character, we do not retaliate. That's not easy. You see, he's talking to the Jews here. He's talking to the church. And the Jews in that day in the Roman society were a very hated minority. It was an insult for the Romans and a very common one that they would call them, you Christian dog, or you Jewish dog. And responding in kind for those people in that day was a very big temptation, just like it is for us. Amen? Somebody calls you a Christian dog, our response might just be a very pithy one right back at them. And yet, though it was a very big temptation for these first century believers, the first people who read this epistle, he gives them an instruction and he says, don't do that. He gave them this instruction. He says, do not return insult for insult. Well, you're mean. Well, you're ugly. Well, you're ugly. Well, you don't smell good. I mean, it could go on forever. Like fifth graders. Like children. They just make up the insults as they go along. Anything to outdo the other person. And it can become that way that we are so immature that we cannot just let it go. He says, don't give a cheap shot for a cheap shot. Don't give a curse for a curse. And I'm going to tell you, is it not true that this kind of advice is revolutionarily counterculture? And it certainly goes against our grain personally. Holding our tongue is counter ego, isn't it? You know, when somebody insults me, my mind and my personality is a little warped. And they say something to me, and my response is, in my mind and sometimes on my lips, right back at you. God says in his word right here, don't do it. Don't respond in kind. That's hard. Can I get an amen? If you don't agree, you haven't lived yet. You're certainly not living with other people. And nevertheless, the godly response is not to retaliate, no matter how angry we may feel, no matter how mean they get, no matter what they say, we're not to retaliate. And then he gets to the second one. And if you thought the first one was hard, this one's even more tough. Are you ready? We're not only not to retaliate, we're to bless those who mistreat us. Oh boy, anybody want to work on that today? Nobody. And yet we're called to do that. I'm going to tell you, it's possible. It is very possible that in my own power, I might not return insult for insult. In my own ability, I might not just give a bad word for a bad word. By my own self-control, I might mumble to myself, well, I'm not going to say anything. Just not going to respond to that. But that is not enough according to God's word. It's just not enough. We're called to what? Bless those who are our enemies. Bless those who do us wrong. Now, can we just confess the truth here? On our best day, we can't do it. On our best day. On our best day, we may not revile for reviling. We may not give curse for curse. On our best day. But on our best day, we cannot bless people for their cursings. Only God can do that in us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to walk in us every day. Anybody besides me out there need that? Every one of us. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit working in us, we don't have the good working in us, and we don't have the power to do what we ought to. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. What was he thinking? He was thinking that we would act like he acted instead of like we normally act. We learn from Christ Jesus that love is more than what we don't do. Amen. You ever felt like you really were a wonderful Christian because you didn't punch somebody in the nose when they acted like they acted? Listen, there are times that just refraining from responding is a huge thing. And yet, God's word tells us that that's still not enough. No, don't retaliate, but also do the positive thing. Bless them and pray for them. When somebody's doing me wrong, I find that quite difficult. When somebody's doing me wrong, I pray, but I'm tempted not to say, Lord, bless them, but God, sick them. Now, don't tell me you're not the same. I've lived around you for a long time. And I'm praying for you just like I pray for me. God's word says here, don't react that way. Pastor, we've only into the second Sunday of the year and you're already getting mean. Listen, God's word gives us some hard teachings. Amen. Do you want to be blessed? Yes, I want to be blessed. Do you really want to be blessed? Then be a blessing, and not just to those who are kind to you, but be a blessing to those who are not. It takes God's word to help us. Let me just read again verse 9 and 10. He said, do not return evil for evil. Do not revile for reviling. But on the contrary, a blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. Wait a minute. You were called to this so that you might inherit a blessing. So let me just say, you were called to this. What? What were we called to? Let's just say it out loud. Not to curse the cursers. Not to revile the revilers. Not to be mean to the mean. Not to act angry toward the angry. And he says, you were called to this. Called. Now, wait a minute. Who is called to this? The pastor? Wait a minute. Let's go back up there where we said this at the very beginning, where he said, finally, all of you be of one mind. Listen, that's all of us. Then he said, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Listen, it takes God's love, and it takes God's grace to say and to pray, Lord, you know the people I'm dealing with, and you know the one you're dealing with, and you know what my natural reaction is, Lord, and I don't want to be one who's disobedient. You know what they've done. You know what they said. You know my anger. God, help me to overcome my feelings and let me have your feelings. So, Lord, that I could actually pray and say, God, bless them. And as you pray this way, can I tell you, Curtis, when you actually pray this this way, your feelings will begin to change when you pray God's will be done instead of your will be done. What happens next after you pray that prayer all depends on your relationship with the Lord. When you're insulted, when you've been done wrong, when you've been falsely accused, what do? In verses 11 and 12, Peter gives us all good advice from Psalms 34, and he literally quotes from the 34th Psalm. So let's do it right from the Psalms. I'm just going to, instead of rereading verse 11 and 12, I'm going to read Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. Ready? Who is the man who desires life? Who is the man who would love many days that he may see good? Then verse 13 says, then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. His eyes are on us all, but he turns his face to bless those who are obedient. And then he gives us that instruction. He says, pursue peace and trust God. Pursue peace. Don't trust your own desires. Don't trust what you want to do. Trust what God wants you to do. Now, God, that doesn't make sense that I would want to pray for a blessing on my enemy. He says, pursue peace and trust God. If we want a life that's blessed by God, we're given this instruction. What's the first one? We will keep our tongue from evil. We will keep our lips from deceitful speech. Isn't it easy to speak ill of those who speak ill of us? It's so easy to do the same thing. Revile for reviling, curse for cursing. But he says that if we are his children and we want to have a blessing, that we will turn from the evil that we want to do and even the evil that we feel justified in doing, and instead we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do good before God. Nowhere does it say it's easy. But he says that we will seek peace and we will pursue it. Now, what does that mean? If we pursue it, that means we are going after it. We're not just going to let it happen. We're not just going to hope it happens. We're not even just going to pray for it. We will pursue peace. That means we follow other instructions in God's word that says if you know your brother has something against you, before you even give your offering, go and be reconciled to your brother. And then come back and give your offering. When we trust God, when we trust God enough to live obediently, and we do what he calls us to do, when we do what he tells us to do, the scripture says that we're going to receive his promises. And his promises are blessings. Verse 12 right here tells us that the eyes of God are upon us to bless us. And his ears are attentive to our prayers. When we give up trying to get even with the people who have done us wrong, the Lord is then unhindered to do what he wants to do in our life. And he's also unhindered to use us in the life of our enemy. When our enemy looks at us and he says, I curse you, I revile you, I call you this, I call you that, and instead we do not retaliate, but we ask for God's blessing, I'm going to guarantee you something happens in their heart. And they're either going to do one of a couple of things or both of them. They're going to say, that person's weak, they can't even take up for themselves. And we're going to say, not that I couldn't, but I won't. I'm going to let God take up for me. And I'm going to let God work in their life by not being a hindrance and returning reviling for reviling. Did I not say that this was going to be a tough lesson? This is not an easy thing to do. When we trust God enough, let me say it again, to live obediently and to do what He calls us to do, we will receive a blessing and we will give a witness to those who want to harm us. Only by grace are we no longer God's enemies. We're talking about God saying, I want you to bless your enemy. I want you to pray for them. I want you to do good to them. Well, I'm going to remind you, and you say, God, that's my enemy you're talking about, not those that I care about. He said, right, your enemy. But once again, only by grace are any of us not His enemy. Amen? Did you know that Romans chapter 5, verse 10 tells that because of our sin, we all come into this world as an enemy of God. You came into this world as an enemy of God, and you remained an enemy of God until you reconciled your sin with Him. And you only could do that through His Son, who died for you to reconcile you to the Father. We were ungodly rebels. You ever had somebody who just fought you at every turn? No matter what you said, no matter what you did, no matter how you do it, no matter how you say it, they're always arguing the opposite against you. And you say, you know what? They make no sense. They're just arguing against me. Listen, that's the way we were with God. Ungodly rebels. But God, in His grace, loved us anyway. He loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, His enemies. God died for His enemies. And even more than that, He sent His Son to die for us. He gave us His Word. He gave us Jesus. And He sent the Holy Spirit while we were still rebelling against Him. He sent the Holy Spirit to bless us and to try to draw us to Him in our sin. One day, while we were running away from God, while we were reviling God, while we were thumbing our nose at His holiness, He found us and He brought us to our knees. And He opened our eyes and caused us to truly see Jesus. And He gave us a desire in our heart to believe His gospel. And when we believed His gospel, He gave us a new life that we so deserved. No way. And in one shining, amazing, supernatural moment on our knees when we came to God, we were no longer enemies, but we were children of God. Just like that. You didn't have to go through any kind of work. You didn't have to go through any kind of long process. All you had to do was immediately when you gave your heart to Christ, when He convinced you of your need for Him, to say, God, I'm a sinner. I repent. Please come into my heart. Please come into my life. Just like that, you were totally, absolutely, positively, 100% redeemed. Thank you, God. Never in a million years, if we had it, could we ever do enough to repay Him. Amen? You could never give enough. I don't care how rich you might be in this world. You could never give enough to repay God back. You could never sing enough. No matter how beautiful a voice you've got, you could never sing enough to pay God back. No matter how great a prayer warrior you are, you could never pray enough to pay God back. No matter what a servant you are, you could never work enough to pay God back. But that, dear friends, is the miracle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are saved because of His grace, we are instantly redeemed, and our debt is paid in full. That's what Jesus meant when He said on the cross, Tetelestai. You remember what that means, right? It was a marketplace term when men would barter and they would say, no, They would use their hands. Come up on your price. No, you're too high. Come up on your price. No, you're too high. Jesus, then, whenever the thing was done, he said, tetelestai, which means it's paid in full. It's done. Jesus Christ paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. He paid a debt that we could never repay. But one thing we can do, and one thing we are called to do, from the scripture it says, and you are called to this, and one thing we must do is we can do for others what God did for us. And that is that we can love our enemies the way that God loved his enemy, and by doing so, show them Christ Jesus. Do you have enemies? Do you have folks who revile you, curse you, speak ill of you? Did you know that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, and you've been thinking of this verse probably through this whole message, Jesus said in Matthew, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 43 and following, he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Sons do what the Father does. Daughters do what the Father does. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do people take you for granted? Do they take pleasure in hurting you? Don't give in to anger and do not give way to despair. Amen? That's an easier one as well. Not only to not give in to anger, but don't despair. Instead, we're to give thanks for your enemies. Whoa. Did you hear that? Let me repeat that. Yes. Give thanks for your enemies. Why? God allowed them to be in your life for a reason. If God wanted them removed from your life, he could remove them. God means to use your enemies to help you grow. God means to use my enemies to help me grow and to teach me to trust him. Not to trust the world, not to trust my situation, not to trust my circumstances, not to trust my bank account, not to trust my wisdom, but to trust God. God. And not only that, but God means to use me and God means to use you to bless our enemies in Jesus' name. When you're wronged, there's a lot of things we could do. Amen? We've talked about a few of them. There's a lot of things you could do. And there are some things that you should do, but there is one thing that you must do. You must, when you are mistreated, fall on your knees and give thanks for your enemies and ask God to bless them one by one. That's hard to see, and that's hard to do on this side of heaven. Amen? It's hard to do on this side of heaven. But your enemies are God's gift to you. That's one of those gifts we'd like to re-gift. Amen? You ever re-gift it? I think that's a gift we'd like to give back. Most of the time, we really don't have any choice about our enemies. But one of the greatest things that we can do is to love our enemies as God loved us when we were his enemy. Robert Schuller, wonderful godly man, he prayed a simple prayer every morning. I love this prayer. Listen, we need to adopt this, don't we? Listen, he said, Dear Lord, lead me to the person you want to speak to through my life today. God, lead me to the person you want to speak to through my life today. Robert Schuller said that this prayer changed his life because it changed his focus. It removed his focus from self back to God and what God wanted him to do. It caused him to start looking at people in a different manner. Instead of seeing people as problems, he saw them as a potential avenue for God's blessing. He said, I want to be the avenue to bless this person that you're working on, Lord. Now, I'm going to say, I added one word to his prayer. And I challenge you to pray this every day this week. Try praying this for 7 days. Dear Lord, lead me to the person that you want to speak to and bless through my life today. And then I'm going to challenge you to watch to see where God leads you and get involved in what God wants to do and be his agent of blessing. I'm going to tell you, I think that there's a lot of people here today that need this teaching right now today. You need it in your life with what's going on. And the rest of us, if we don't need it right now, we'll need it sooner than we think. Amen? If we take these words to heart and we make them a part of our life, we are obedient to God's word, we will be a channel of blessing to others that nothing in this world can stop. Satan can't stop it. Other people can't stop it. And dear friends, we too, because of God's promise, inherit a blessing directly from God. Can I pray for you? Father, thank you for your word and all God's people said. Now get ready because this is going to be a little harder, but I want you to agree with me. Father, thank you for our enemies. Hard to say amen to that, isn't it, folks? God, thank you for our enemies, for you teach us much through them. And God, we were once your enemy. We rebelled in an ugly way. Thank you, God, for blessing us with your truth anyway. Help us, Father, to bless those who revile and accuse and hurt us. And may they come to know the love of Christ Jesus, so that they are no longer our enemies, but our brothers in Christ.